right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very impromptu episode of Newborn Libertarian. And we're bringing on somebody new, David from Sheeple No More. Welcome, David. It's nice to have you on. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's nice to be here. I appreciate it.
Give us where you came from politically. Give us a little background on your show. Unfortunately, we don't have your co-host on, but we will rectify that in the future.
Oh, yeah. We definitely got to have Bill. As far as my past and where I came from, I really don't know. I think a lot of my family was Republican. I would go to guests, but I think I was raised more like libertarian leaning. I didn't have any kind of care about politics whatsoever until about 2008. And I started kind of looking into it, but not really. And it was just, I know when my parents raised me socially, and that's where a lot of my political leanings come from, instead of like economically or whatever, it just seemed to be a lot more, individual type based beliefs that I was raised with, individual freedom and liberty and stuff like that. And then when I started, I think what got me into, when I realized I think I was a libertarian, which I still don't like to put that label on, I still look at it as, I just go with whoever appeals to me and my personal beliefs. If they're Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. But it just seems to be that it's been consistently libertarian candidates or libertarian and independent people. And the first one that really caught my eye was Ron Paul. And listening to him and watching him, I was like, you know, he's speaking to me. None of these other people are speaking to me. He is. And so that's kind of where I'm supposed to, and then it's grown from there.
Right on. And go ahead and tell everybody about your show, because I think we need to get the word out more so that people are checking out your videos.
I appreciate it. It's Sheeple No More. We started back, I want to say, about 2 years ago. I'm not certain. Bill and I, we met through my family. He was friends with my cousins. You know, we just kind of, one day we're standing out in the middle of the driveway at my aunt's house, and we start talking about politics. And we see a lot of things the same way, so we decided to start a YouTube channel. And we just come together when we can, and we were going to say, you know, they're only going to be like 30 minutes long or something. They end up being an hour and a half, 2 hours long. But he's more of a Republican-leaning, I think he's like a libertarian-leaning Republican, if that makes any sense. And he's young. I got about 10 years on him. So that's nice. I have that too, is I guess he knows where the younger generation is coming from. But yeah, we have a little YouTube channel. We got a Facebook page. I did put one of them on as a podcast. I just didn't have the time or the, know-how to consistently do putting it into a podcast form, so I just kind of dumped that, and we just pretty much go on the YouTube channel and Facebook.
Right on. Well, thank you for coming on so quickly, because, as you know, I've been complaining and wanting to rant for a little bit, because we are in a situation, of course, where libertarians and liberty-minded people are upset because the Iowa caucuses happened and Rand finished behind Ben Carson, of all people. And it's just, Ben Carson, I mean, how much of a messaging problem can you have when you finish behind Ben Carson? I mean, the guy, it's like the last debate, it was like whenever anybody like Megyn Kelly was asking him a question, it was like he was surprised that somebody was asking him a question. I mean, I don't know.
I like Ben Carson. I like what he's saying. But he's so, he just seems like a pushover. And for Rand Paul, I never was a big Rand Paul fan myself. You know, some people are, some people aren't. I did said he had a little bit more, he was more aggressive, and I liked that. But I'm like you, I don't know how he finished behind Denny Carson.
Yeah, I mean, I probably should make it clear. I wasn't really planning on voting for Rand Paul exactly because, you know, it's not, I'm a libertarian, big L libertarian. I'd plan on voting third party anyway before everybody probably jumps all over me. You know, I know people talk about advancing liberty, you know, incrementally. You know, I'm one of those people that say the Libertarian Party wouldn't exist if there weren't libertarians to vote for the Libertarian Party. And I think it's important to have third parties to make the two-party system know, hey, there are people out there, independents and people saying we are, there's unrest, we're unsettled, this two-party system isn't doing it for us. So I also think it's important that the Libertarian Party exists. I understand the idea behind getting into the Republican Party and trying to make some progress there. I was, of course, talking, I would tell people who wanted to vote for a Republican about Rand. And of course I would, I didn't have any problems exactly with Rand because, of course I'm a fan of Ron Paul. I mean, he's the man. There are people I've talked to that aren't libertarians that just were caucusing for Ron Paul. The guy was revolutionary, obviously. But I think Rand Paul just kind of suffered for, it was like he didn't exactly want to be a libertarian. He didn't want to be labeled that way. I mean, it was like he was trying to sort of be Republican, but sort of libertarian. It was just the messaging problem was kind of muddled. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think I always tell people, I think what the Libertarian Party has, their biggest problem is also their, what I love about them is they're so daggum unorganized. It's kind of like Bill and I talk about all the time. You know, we agree on like 95% of everything. It's a, Republicans and libertarians usually do, but it's that 5% that keeps it, separate, and they'll fight tooth and nail over that other 5% they don't agree on. And I think the Libertarian Party they're not organized. We're scattered in the woods with, podcasts and Facebook pages and stuff like that. We don't have a real voice. The only thing close we had to a real voice was Ron Paul. And we've seen how the media did with him. They just kind of pushed him off the side. They didn't pay him no attention. And to me, that means that the media is, of course, as everybody knows, bought paid for by the main two parties. And they also feel threatened. And to be honest, I think I made a point a while back about how I think the reason why a lot of people are going with Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, they're, in my opinion, the two big front runners. It's because they're the most outrageous out there. And we don't have a libertarian candidate that is grabbing their attention, not just waiting for it, like hoping that somebody looks at him. We need somebody that's going to get out there. And I think now would be a great time for Ron Paul to come up, but that's just not going to happen. And I think that's the problem is we don't have a big enough voice, unison anyway.
Yeah, good point. I mean, we are kind of separated everywhere. It's hard for all of us to unite because, of course, like you said, 95% of the way we agree, and that 5% we will argue to the death about. I mean, because the Libertarian Party is just a huge umbrella is a thing, and we have trouble uniting everywhere. But I think what the part is, and, of course, with the name of the podcast, Newborn Libertarian, being a libertarian for 4 months, what I've come in to see is that there doesn't seem to be an actual agreement on what exactly libertarianism is to some people. It's like the principles don't seem to be ingrained far enough. Some people just want to jump onto the message and spread it, and then it seems like somewhere the principles aren't agreed on. They're not ingrained enough. It's like, say, for instance, one of the things that I was super, super just wanted to rant about was the whole Ted Cruz thing. I know this is, just huge, and it's all over the private Facebook group, is now everybody saying, okay, Rand Paul's out, so now we should support Ted Cruz. And you probably have noticed I am just dead set against that, because I think it's just flagrantly against libertarianism, because, of course, libertarians are all about, you know, not just about small government. That's obviously important, but there's another thing that's quite important, is non-interventionist war. We are against just jumping into other countries trying to play big brother. We don't like to just go around bombing people, because the unseen with wars is not only are we attacking people that are possibly enemies, but the thing that happens in wars is that we also end up attacking people that are innocents. And what we're seeing with a lot of these wars is that we are radicalizing a heck of a lot of people and spreading more hate. And if anybody hasn't noticed, especially with Donald Trump, now we're spreading a lot of Muslim hate in America with a bunch of ignorant people that don't understand. They think Muslim is a race all of a sudden, which it is not. Ted Cruz, everybody's like, oh, he's the closest to liberty. And if anybody has no, it's not even just the audit the Fed thing. It's just flip-flopped on a lot of things. I'm not sure I could really trust him to be solid, but it's just been even more. I mean, it's kind of hard to see when you're looking at the Democratic debates, you're seeing all this, like, you know, all about the war there, and then you go to the Republican debate and you still hear more about war, and I'm just starting to say, wait a minute, are we seeing any differences between the Democrats and the Republicans there? They're all about the war, and libertarians are not about war. That is not what we want to do. The only time that war should happen is if somebody is literally on your border trying to get into your country. That's when you should be worried about fighting. You shouldn't be going to other countries, bombing people, and, you know, there's collateral damage in innocent people, and you're wondering why people are getting radicalized. We're attacking the crap out of innocent people in the process. And Ted Cruz is not just talking about carpet bombing and watching sand glow and all that sort of stuff. And people are just telling us, you know, they're trying to like sugarcoat all this stuff and saying, oh, you know, you don't want to advance liberty. We should be looking about advancing liberty. We don't have Rand Paul anymore. And, you know, everybody doesn't want to be about incremental gains. You know, this is what we should be doing. But how the heck are we going to do that with somebody who wants to feed into the military? You can't have a small government and feed in, you know, funnel more money into the war and want to carpet bomb people and radicalize people and say that's somehow going to advance the message of liberty, because that does not advance liberty to be bombing innocent people along. Like, how are we supposed to be supporting this guy?
Well, see, now Bill, he's a big Ted Cruz guy. He loves it.
Oh, man, we definitely should have him on then.
And he told, and you know, at first he was all about Rand Paul too. Honestly, if you really want my opinion, whenever 9/11 happened, I watched it. It shocked everyone, including myself. And you know, I can go back and say, well, we all caused them to do this, which I can see where that's coming from. But the way I look at it is, I'm more of a isolationist than a lot of people. Get mad when I say that. I'm kind of like, you know, and like you said, it's not intervention. So if you can do your wars and stuff, you got whatever you got going on, I'll still do business with you, and that's about it. But whenever 9/11 happened, yes, I think George Bush handled that messed up. We should not still be over there camped out, policing, killing people, doing whatever we got to do over there. We should have just, in my opinion, been the one with the big stick. We should have went over there and just bombed the ever-living hell out of them, and then came back the next day and said, okay, we're done, you know. Of course, you got to find out where he's at first, but and make sure you're bombing the right people. But I'm not against aggression in that sense. What I am against is what we have right now, is where we're just sitting over there and we're bombing where we think people are, and then you're catching, you know, those Doctors Without Borders hospitals by mistake. It's gotten really ugly, and like you said, no wonder people are pissed at us. And we're going, well, they just hate us because we're Christian, or we're white, or they hate us because of our freedoms. No, they hate us because we're still bombing their people. I get that. And a lot of people disagree with in my area. But when it comes to president, I tell you what, I don't know who I would vote for if we didn't have a Libertarian candidate. I'm not a big Ted Cruz fan. I'm not a big Rand Paul fan. I don't like any of them, to be honest with you. And that's just my personal opinion. I have met none of the Democrats, definitely none of the Democrats, and none of the Republicans, and none of the Republicans speak to me. They're all about war and fear and, you know, trying to make everybody scared of either somebody across the ocean or somebody the south of us, or even people in their own country, you know, fear cops, fear poor people, fear Muslims, fear everybody. You know, you drive them on fear, just control them. And I think that's what has happened, is a lot of population has bought into the fear mentality of someone who's looking for a savior. And, you know, the left has the savior of, you know, of Bernie Sanders, where, you know, everybody's poor and everybody's broke, so you gotta take care of me and all this other crap. And then you got the right savior would be Donald Trump. Say, you know, close the borders, go to wall, ban Muslims, do all this other crap. And we have turned into sheep, and they are the herders and shepherds, and they're leading us exactly where they want us to go.
Yeah, and it's just this strange thing where, you know, libertarians were, you know, always talking about how non-libertarians are always doing the lesser evil voting thing. And then now we're in the boat of the same thing, you know, where as soon as you want to say, no, we don't want to vote for Ted Cruz, we rather vote third party, or if you're maybe in the case of anarchists, just don't vote at all because they don't want to, you know, they don't want to be a statist. They're not going to vote anyway. Then they're saying, you know, oh, well, then you're going to let the evil of the Democrats win. I'm like, well, now you're in the vote of the lesser evil thing. You're just doing exactly what you've been slamming everybody else for doing. And then, of course, you get the, well, you know, you're, you know, the reason that liberty doesn't advance. And I'm just thinking, well, liberty isn't advanced by bombing a bunch of innocents and claiming, you know, that we're bombing the enemy either. It's just a really ugly situation that we're in. And also, liberty isn't going to be advanced overnight either. You know, it's just, that's just not how it's going to happen.
No, it's not.
But, you know, I guess I'm just being a Debbie Downer, but I don't think this is not the end of liberty. This is not the end. There's no reason for everybody to just be all super sad today. This is not the end of things. This should be the start of something. This should be teaching us something.
I think what it's going to take is, and I hate to say it, I thought Barack Obama would be bad enough to make everybody start looking towards the Libertarian Party, seeing that, you know, he pretty much let the Democrats down that voted for him. I thought, you know, now they're gonna start looking towards it. But I've gotten to the point that I think that it's really going to have to be bad. I mean, like, even worse than it already is, to where they're going to be like, okay, well, you know, these staunch Republicans or Democrats are going to be looking and saying, it's not working. We need one of these parties are fixing the issues we're having, so we need to look somewhere else. And that's sadly what I think it's going to take. It's going to take, you know, us becoming, you know, fighting in bread lines and all this other, you know, just be another Great Depression before they realize, you know, this is being a bunch of shit. We got to do something. And that's bad. So I think that's where we're at.
So you think it's going to be Bernie Sanders, President Sanders?
I think if we get either one of them, Sanders or Trump, part of me wants Sanders to win, not Hillary. Sanders, just so that all these people begging for free crap and holding them up like he's the next Jesus Christ will have to, they will live, they'll lay in the bed that they made. And of course, unfortunately, everyone else that has any kind of ounce of logic is going to have to pay for it. But, I mean, there are a lot of brainwashed people out there, in my opinion, that either they're, you know, we need to police the whole planet and have military bases in every single country, if not three bases in every single country, regardless of whether, you know, they need it or not, or we got people brainwashed into the mentality of everybody needs to take care of everybody, and you can drink unicorn farts, and everybody's just going to pay for everything. Everything's going to be free, but everything's going to be paid for by everybody else, which doesn't make sense. But they never want to look past that point of, if everything's free, where's the, who's paying for it? There's still somebody got to be paying for it, but nobody seems to care. It's the evil, greedy, top 1% corporation in Wall Street.
I've gotten to the point where it's not even logic anymore. We've already, like, torn down socialism on every friend's Facebook page. We can do as many podcasts on it. They don't actually care about the logic. It doesn't matter. They just want the feel-good thing. And it's just going to be terrible and funny when I point and laugh when the middle class gets hit by all the taxing and everything's just going to go to crap. And I'm going to be like, well, we told you. You're an idiot. Thanks, that's wonderful. But, you know, at this point, it might be better if Sanders actually went, because if Trump becomes president, then of course they're going to point the fingers at the Republican Party, and then they're as, since libertarians aren't really Republicans, but since they're supposed to be the party of smaller government, which it's starting to turn out to be no longer the party of smaller government, they'd still be pointing the fingers in our direction. And it actually would be more fitting if another Democrat got into office and things start to fall even more apart. And be like, nope, you can't point it at the Republicans, because that's about, what, it'd be like four more years. And if they were dumb enough to vote to keep Bernie in the office 4 more years after that, I'd be like, nope, you can't even point it anywhere near Republican. That is all your idiocy that made this fall apart. That is all you.
And that would be cool. The only thing I hate to think about is that the price is going to be so high just to be able to give them high cookies. So, and I mean, I want to. It's almost a conundrum to where, I don't even know what that damn big word is, but you know what I'm talking about. It's where it's double-edged sword. We can say high cookies, so, but we're also going to be living, everybody's going to be in poverty.
Yeah.
And it's hard to talk to somebody when they have no grasp of reality. And that's what you get a lot of times. Or they want to base everything on emotion instead of logic. Now, I say with same-sex marriage, okay? Most libertarians, and I don't know if you agree or not, we're cool with it. We're like, whatever. You want to get married to the same sex, that's great. But just because you want do that doesn't mean that, one, somebody else has got to accept it. No, I don't want them feeding your brains in because you're gay. But they'll have to be like, okay, I accept your lifestyle. They'll have to. That's part of personal freedom, is whether you accept something or not. You tolerate it, which is a word that I think has gotten very construed with tolerance and acceptance. They're not the same thing. And I don't think a baker should have to make a cake for a wedding. But, and that's where the emotional side comes from the left. They're like, oh, no, I want them to, so they got to. It's not about what. I want them to do this, so they have to do it. And with the right, a lot of the religious right, they're like, no, don't change the Constitution, state Constitution, whatever. No, it's man, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Eve, and all that crap. And I'm like, dude, why? I always look at it like this. When somebody's talking about something like that, what does it hurt you personally? It's not like you're saying, oh, I'm two guys that want to get married, so now the government's going to have to pay me, you know, some kind of incentive for me being a married gay couple. Now, that would have a problem with, because why am I giving my tax money away? But I don't have a problem with the actual part of it. You know what I'm saying? It's confusing talking to people, because they're very inconsistent. Libertarians seem to be the most consistent party out there.
Yeah, I'm probably the worst thing that has ever happened to the progressives is me becoming a libertarian, because as a gay Christian libertarian, I'm like, this is how I see it. As how I see it, I'm like, okay, number one, marriage is not the business of the government, the Constitution, or the state. It's none of the business.
Amen.
Like, this whole marriage thing was a religious thing anyway, and I'm not really concerned about getting married in a church. Like, this is between me and, you know, my future wife. It's a contract between me and her, so it's none of anybody else's damn business. So I don't need the state or the government or anybody in my bedroom or in my marriage, so that's not a concern. And I'm not going to force anybody to make a cake for me. If they told me no, fine, you don't need my damn money. This is how the free market and capitalism works. I will go somewhere else and take my money there. Because if I have to force them to make me a cake, they're going to be all bitchy about it. And what's the purpose of having that crappy service? And even worse, when, you know, people say, you know, they didn't want to give me a marriage license, or, you know, these people won't do my wedding. What's the purpose of having somebody that doesn't want to do your wedding do your wedding? You know, that probably would be terrible service. So I don't want people are going to be bitchy and mad about it doing anything for me. You know, I'll take my money elsewhere. That's free market capitalism for you. You don't want people that don't want to do crap for you do stuff for you. That's stupid. Why force them to do that? That's dumb. You know, take your money elsewhere. There's somebody that actually is tolerant and will actually care because, you know, money is green. I will take your money. Somebody else will take the money. That's the free market. Use the damn free market. That's how it works.
Amen. That's the way I've always looked at it. And what kills me, too, is I'm sitting here going, all right, I think the best way, you got to come in from a back door. You can't, because the government right now does have a say-so. And who can marry who? Because when you get married, there's a benefit. I mean, you get a tax incentive for being married. You don't have to pay as many taxes in. And then if you get kids, you get more money. So I think I'm married. And I would be perfectly fine if the government didn't give me a subsidy for being married. And to me, the only way to make it to where they don't is for everyone to ask for money from the government because they are married. And it's just I'm with you. I don't think the government should have anything to do with who married who or what or how many. It's just none of their business. But since now they have money in the game, just like anything else that the government starts to put money into, they have a huge say-so on what happens. And it's done really good. I mean, look at everything else the government puts money into. They have a say-so in everything. It doesn't matter if it's business-wise or the moral-wise. Anything like that that the business does, the government's got to pay.
You would think that anybody with logical brain cells would have figured out that all these, my favorite are people in the gay community that support Bernie Sanders. I'm like, maybe if he would, you know, discover the fact that if government wouldn't have got their hands in the marriage game, you wouldn't have to sit here and, you know, try to get the Supreme Court to recognize marriage for gay people. If the government would have been in the first damn place, you wouldn't have to fight for the damn right. It's stupid. You know, you would want to have the government out of it because you would have never had to fight for the damn right with the government if they wouldn't have been in the damn business of marriage in the first place. I'd be like, hey, maybe if you just get them out of the game, we wouldn't have to fight for it because, you know, it's like people years ago wouldn't have thought, oh, maybe a man and a woman, you know, aren't the two people that want to get. We never thought down the road that people of the same sex want to get married. We would have never thought of that. Now we got to make a new law. You know, it's just people don't have the foresight in the future to see what would happen. And, you know, and then the government has to go and make a new law. And I'm like, this is stupid. People, like, things change in the future. And then you shouldn't have to make a new process for things that change in the future. You know, that's dumb. Things change in the world. We shouldn't have to petition and fight with the government for things that happen in the future. That's just how the world goes. That's dumb.
That's the way I look at it, is whenever the Supreme Court came down with that rule about same-sex marriage needs to be recognized, a lot of people celebrated. Me, you know, that was probably the biggest blow.
And I wasn't a libertarian when that ruling came through, so of course I celebrated it, you know, because I didn't think about it then. I wasn't one of those people with the logical brain cells that thought, hey, you know, if the government didn't have their hand in it, we wouldn't have to fight for this. You know, if I would have thought about it, I'm like, why is the Supreme Court actually the ones what? This doesn't make sense. Is this constitutional that this would be the people who would have to hand down our rights? Is this okay? You know, I mean, I guess, you know, if you think about it, it advanced us closer to liberty because, you know, we could get married, but then you're just thinking about it, wait a minute, this is a whole convoluted mess because this doesn't make any sense that, you know, the government would be having their hand in marriage in the first place. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. but it's kind of like everyone is a, it seems like most people are single issue voters, and once they find a candidate or anybody that clings on to their cause, then that's who they're going to vote for, no matter if the rest of their stuff is bullcrap and they don't even believe in the rest of what they're saying. It's kind of like with a perfect example of Donald Trump. I like what Donald Trump's doing to the Republican Party. He's pissing them all off, and I kind of like that. And he's not doing the same way that I thought. He's doing more of an asinine kind of way. But he's doing it. And, you know, everybody's like, you know, I like the idea. Honestly, a lot of libertarians are like, oh, we should have borders. We need all borders, guys. As I'm saying, there's a lot of things that libertarians don't agree on. I'm a border guy. I'm going to secure the borders. Don't let anybody in until, you know, it's legally, blah, blah, blah. I don't like his idea of a wall. You know, I honestly do. But then again, he's a socialist, healthcare kind of single payer, whatever kind of guy. He wants the government to be that single payer. So I can't support that. I'm not a single issue voter. I'm not going to be like, well, I don't like this. I don't like these five things about him. I don't like this one thing about it. So I'm going to vote. I can't do that. It's not, I vote my conscience. I can't vote just because I know, and I don't vote against people either. That's one thing that ticks me off. I'm like, oh, you're going to vote you. Last time I voted for Gary Johnson, and they're like, oh, you vote for Gary, then you just threw away your vote. You gave it to Obama. I'm like, no, I voted for Gary Johnson. I didn't vote against anybody. And it's that mentality, the left-right mentality, micro-right, that has driven us.
Well, this is probably why I would be definitely more of a Libertarian Party kind of person, and why it's so hard for me to just go and vote for Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, or definitely not Marco Rubio, is because I'm very much a principles kind of person, and Libertarian Party is a party of principle, and I definitely can't be a single issue voter. And when people say, you know, advancing liberty incrementally, and when the way that I think of advancing liberty incrementally is based on my principles, because party of principle, and you have to understand what your principles are. And Jason Stapleton does a good job of laying those five principles out. And if something hits on those five principles and is just totally throws them all out of whack, and you just cannot find anything that aligns with any of that at all, then it's hard for me to even try to compromise any of that, you know. And that's what I find is really rough in the Libertarian Party is that if we want to start compromising any of those principles so much, is then we're getting very close to just doing what a lot of people just do in the world of politics anyway. It's just making compromises just because, well, we just want to, you know, people make compromises just saying, well, we just have to do what we have to do, the lesser of two evils. That's where we end up. And I'm very much a principled person. And if that means I'm voting third party, or I end up not voting for anybody on the Republican stage, then so be it. Because I've been that person that cast my vote for Bush, and I didn't really enjoy that at all. I definitely didn't enjoy casting that first vote for Obama's first term. I definitely didn't make that mistake the second time around. And I sure in the hell am not going to cast any votes for anybody that's a Republican right about now. Not making that mistake.
But that's one thing I looked at too is, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, well, if I don't like a candidate, that's all about, and I'm just not going to vote. And to me, that's where you get, like, I can't remember the exact percentage. It was like 47% of those voters voted last time. And there's just not a big turnout. So either most of those, the majority of those, are either going to be Democrat or Republican. And I think that all these people that, you know, think, well, I'm not going to vote because I don't like any candidates, write in somebody or vote for a third party or something like that, so that it will say, they will see, look, you know, only 47% voted for this, you know, left or right, but we had 53% vote for somebody else. And I think that was in the clear message out to first our government, then our media, and then everybody else, that look, you know, we're not happy with this, and we're wanting a change, and the change, the hope of change that is being offered by these two parties is what we're wanting because it hasn't worked in forever. So I think that if you had a huge amount of population vote, granted, none would win. It would still be a left or right person win. But instead of voting for the lesser of two evils, vote for somebody. And that was been a clear message out to everybody that we're ready to shake things up. We just got to get organized and get that. Will get, I think, a candidate rise out of that amount of people voting third party. I think that will get us a candidate that we actually can all stand behind. And because they'll see that, you know, okay, well, we're not happy. Let's give the people what they want instead of give the unions or the corporations or the lobbyists. Do have to do is, but I do gotta get back to work because free market, I gotta have a job.
Understandable. All right, then. Well, do you want to plug your like your page real quick and then get on out of here?
Yeah, everybody listening, please go check out Sheeple No More on YouTube. Check out Sheeple No More on the Facebook page. We welcome anybody to come. We welcome any kind of opinion. We have a couple of trolls on there that I love to entertain. So, please feel free to come and share opinions. That's what we're all about.
All righty. Well, thank you, David, for coming on the show. And you go ahead and get to your job and work the free market, man.
All right. I appreciate you, Kim. I appreciate you having me.
All right. Have a good day.